Well, look, we'll move on, because again we've got from 1997 another view of living in space. The year 2000. This year, I do apologise. It's the mission to Mars. This is as updated and as close to the reality as you can possibly get without actually going there.
All those interested in dance lessons, please report to the promenade deck.
Protocol data from EVA station.
Transferred. Awaiting track confirmation.
Back from meteoroids.
Oh no.
Kill those alarms.
Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Breach hits in the hull.
We're outgassing, losing pressure.
What do you see of the breach? Looks like it's behind Jim's helmet.
90% atmosphere. Critical systems alert. Critical system alert.
We're losing pressure fast. We're gonna decompress.
Computer, how long till zero atmosphere?
4 minutes, 9 seconds.
Still not gassing in the lower hamp. Must be another hole down there.
Ooh, spooky.
Music's come a long way, hasn't it? Good music.
I thought there was a wonderful quote from a guy I was interviewing for NASA, and he said, when we actually do send real astronauts on the road to Mars, which will take about a year for them to get there, they'll then have to spend a year on the planet because of the way that Mars and the Earth actually get into register with each other, a year to get back. So it's a 3-year journey. He said, first of all, we're going to get some real wet noodles back, and I think we've got some wet noodles coming there. And secondly, the whole thing about, you're going to have a doctor on board, because if you do get something like that, micrometeorite impact, where you've actually got outgassing, the atmosphere escapes, you've got an injury on board. Supposing somebody gets appendicitis, what the hell happens then? It's not going to be a cool journey, and I'm not going to volunteer for it. I don't know about you.
Oh, no, I wouldn't volunteer for it. There are some things in this film that are really pretty accurate. I thought the blood was well done.
Yeah.
Any liquid spilled in space will float in the shape of a ball.
Mm-hmm.
It will form itself into a sphere, which is interesting when you look at the planets and the shape that they've taken up in space. So that was very effective. And also the bit about the micrometeorite, that was very effective. We've got a real problem in orbit around Earth. We have all this space debris that has been deposited there, old broken spacecraft, broken down Russian spy satellites. We have balls of radioactive liquid mercury floating up in space. And each time they impact, pieces fly off at higher velocity. Every time the space shuttle comes down, we find impacts in the space shuttle tiles. They've done a lot of research into the type of damage that it can do. Even the astronauts' spacesuits that NASA uses have a backup supply of oxygen that are designed so that If you have something happen like just happened there with the micrometeorite going through the hand of the astronaut, that happens while the astronauts in the U.S. are in a suit. If it punctures, if you get a 4-millimeter puncture, your emergency oxygen supply can keep you alive for about 30 minutes. And NASA believes that's enough time for some other astronauts to drag the wounded astronaut inside the spaceship and get him into a pressurized environment. But more than likely, there's an opportunity that they might die out there.
Sure.
Monkeys taken into space that were taken into space by the Soviets and then brought back down. They anesthetized them. When they brought them down, there were two of them. And the first monkey died almost instantly, and the second one died as well. So you were talking about surgery in space.
Yes.
And doctors. NASA now believes it's highly unlikely that you could anesthetize somebody.
Sure.
Through traditional means without killing them.
I think one of the nice things about that film was the fact that there was some fun in it, that they were actually dancing in the having dancing lessons for entertainment. And I spoke with an astronaut, Carl Mead, from NASA a couple of years ago, and he was saying, he showed me his home video that he'd taken on his little home video camera up there, sort of home videos in space. And it's great because they crack jokes. They set up all sorts of situations, like doing press-ups, and then realising that the person's doing press-ups, and then the person moves... someone comes and sits on their back,
yeah.
And they can then do press-ups one-handed with the person sitting on their back. And so, obviously, people like to be entertained and to have some fun in their life, and you have to do the same thing to stay sane, I'd imagine, in space.
In Skylab, they did it with no hands, just 2 feet wedged into the wall, 3 astronauts on the back. 2 astronauts, sorry.
But the other thing that Carl Mead said to me was that you have to... rehearse everything you do so many times.
Yes,
he said that the thing that gets you in space is the boredom. You are so bored because the manoeuvres he was doing were going outside the space shuttle and using a completely detached rocket pod to move himself around. Now, he had great risk of just shooting off into space if he got it wrong. And they really wouldn't go and risk him. They couldn't afford to go and risk him if he did that. So this guy's going out there, untethering himself, firing up his little rocket pack, and doing it with absolute precision. He said he rehearsed this in the pool because they simulate anti-gravity in the pool.
Yeah.
He rehearsed this literally hundreds of times, just like a ballerina, he said. You go through the steps one after the other, time and time again, and you never, ever get it wrong. And he's a really cool guy, Carl, and I can just imagine he would stay cool in that sort of situation so well.
Absolutely.
Would it be worth taking a comedian?
Absolutely.
I'd love to go. Micrometeors or not, I'd go.
What about Mikey on Good News Week? Would he be good in space?
I think anti-gravity would do the wonders for him.
I think Mikey needs anti-gravity.